Hi, this is Steve Taylor, and I would like to welcome you to this discussion concerning the 2007 Mobile WiMAX State of the Market Report. This is a report that was produced by Kubernetes and is being distributed via WebTorials and sponsored by Nortel. Now, my role today is actually mostly as being the master of ceremonies and to talk a little bit about the WebTorials database that we used for doing the research. We're also joined today by two experts on WiMAX, Joni Wexler, who is an analyst and writer, and wireless is one of her specialties, and also by Regina Moldovan from Nortel, who is Nortel's director for Nortel WiMAX marketing. So Joni and Regina, welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Let me start off by talking a little bit about the survey methodology that we used. We collected this data during January of this year, and as is the case with all of our State of the Market reports, the survey base was from the WebTorials community. In this particular case, we, in fact, barely opened it to the entire community and instead focused on people who had already shown an interest in wireless technologies in some way. One of the typical factors about the WebTorials community is that we have a good number of both end users and service providers, and in fact, for the responses to this particular survey, we ended up with an almost equal mix of end users and service providers, consisting of over 250 responses on a worldwide basis. About 50% of these were North American, which is typical, and rather than going into details concerning all of the various demographics for the group, let me just mention that at the end of the PDF handout, there are an extensive number of slides that you can use as a reference if you really want to know more about a lot of the fine-tuning on the demographics. I will mention, though, on slide number 4, that one of the first questions we asked was about the perspective from which the person would be answering the questions. And as you can see, there were about an equal percentage, 38% and 37%, who were either enterprise users, evaluators, or purchasers, or commercial providers. So on several of the following slides, you'll see breakdowns that are for just those communities as well, because what we wanted to do here is to give you not only the overall subscriber base and what they thought about it, but in particular, where appropriate, to try to identify if there was a difference, and if there was a difference, what that difference was between the corporate enterprise user perspective and the perspective of the service providers. Moving on to slide number 5, here we're going to start with the key findings, and so at this point I'm going to ask Joni Wexler to give us some commentary on this.
Thanks a lot, Steve. I'd actually like to spend a little bit of time on this particular slide because it's kind of a summary of everything we've learned by the survey responses. According to the responses to the Mobile WiMAX survey, standards-based WiMAX services should be available in significant volume as fixed-line data replacements starting this year. And from there, full mobility services are set to be available in fairly respectable volume next year. This timing is reflected in the respondents' answers that are shown on slides 11 and 12, which we'll get to in a few minutes. By way of some background, a couple of the major carriers in the United States are building out their mobile WiMAX networks now, and embedded WiMAX radio connections are expected to be added to laptop devices and PDAs this year, alongside cellular and Wi-Fi connections in the same devices. The mobile WiMAX flavor of the 802.16 WiMAX standard can be used as a complement or alternative to cellular services and as a fixed line replacement as well. Again, a little bit of background. Basically, mobile WiMAX deployments are expected to provide up to 15 megabits per second of capacity within a typical cell radius of about 3 kilometers, which WiMAX service providers can then divvy up among their subscribers, in effect providing multi-megabit mobile speeds to their end customers. such high mobile speeds, of course, then open the door to some interesting and media-rich applications. The second bullet here, the primary application drivers that were revealed in the study are as shown, voice over IP, followed by the usual suspects, general business applications, internet access, and email as the top apps. There are some additional exciting mobile WiMAX applications on users' and providers' radars, which we'll look at more closely when we get to slide 8. One reason for the high level of interest in mobile WiMAX for everyday business and communications applications, which can be also supported across existing 3G broadband cellular networks, is that there are multinational companies out there that would like to see a common, unfragmented standard that their employees could use worldwide. Some of the IT managers in those companies are hoping that mobile WiMAX might fit that bill. However, as you know, sweeping network infrastructure deployments that can deliver global, ubiquitous coverage take time. So at least for the foreseeable future, we are likely to see mobile WiMAX as a complement to 3G cellular service and accessed by client devices that have WiMAX, Wi-Fi, and 3G connections all bundled in to enable the broadest access reach possible from a single device. And as per the high interest in voice over IP, or VoIP, currently many 3G providers actually block the use of VoIP over their cellular data networks. So an alternative that opens up that capability consistently worldwide, perhaps in the form of mobile WiMAX, is appealing to multinational IT managers. And finally, the third bullet, the perceived inhibitors to mobile WiMAX deployment and adoption, are fairly practical in nature. The three that are mentioned here topped the respondents' priority lists. High prices for devices are usually expected with new technologies that haven't yet benefited by the mass economies of scale. Service availability constraints are cause for concern early in the life of any new network service that requires an entire infrastructure build-out. In addition, many providers and customers believe that the licensed spectrum will deliver the most reliable WiMAX services, because when spectrum is licensed to a carrier, that carrier has exclusive rights to its use and can thereby control service quality levels fairly tightly. Unlicensed bands, by contrast, are basically available to anyone with compliant equipment. In other words, all operators and users have equal rights to the use of the shared unlicensed medium. The openness is nice, but the trade-off is that it makes it difficult for carriers to control service levels and sources of interference. That being said, though, while the licensed spectrum holds promise for quality control, it is a fact of life that spectrum isn't unlimited around the world for licensing to would-be mobile WiMAX providers. So there's a bit of a practical issue there. And I was wondering, Regina, did you want to comment at all on the spectrum issue or any of the other key findings here from slide 5?
Absolutely. Thanks. I would say that this the findings pretty much line up with what we're seeing and in hearing from our customers. Just in terms of the first point, I would agree that for the most part, you're going to see WiMAX used as a DSL alternative or even replacement in the coming months and year or so. But you may see a few operators that opt to go to mobility right away. The other comment I wanted to make was around the inhibitors. There's a lot of talk around the ecosystem and having a viable, cost-effective solution in the space, and a lot of talk around that. So one of the things that we're trying to do is certainly work with leading-edge partners like LG and Kyocera on the device side and on the chipset side with Runcom and Intel and others to really accelerate and drive this this ecosystem. So that the mass volume gets there and generates lower cost devices for customers and their consumers, and you know, and to your point on the spectrum scarcity, you know, that it has been a concern, although I'm starting to see more and more reports around different governments opening up spectrum for WiMAX in countries such as throughout Europe and Asia. So I believe that this inhibitor will slowly disappear.
Okay, and as always, I can't resist the urge to jump in and make a comment every now and then. On the spectrum, I wanted to just mention that also, whenever we're doing one of these reports, we always ask the question, and it may be or it may not be that the spectrum is a real issue or a perceived issue. And in some cases, what we find is it's a real issue and it's something that we need to address. And also, in some cases, it's an opportunity for education for us to find out, as we did in this case, that this is still perceived as an issue, but it may be an issue that has a rather quick a resolution coming. And Joni, I had one question, if you could comment on very quickly. When you mentioned voice over IP and it's being prohibited currently, is that more of a technical prohibition because there's not enough bandwidth available, or is it a you're not supposed to do this type of prohibition?
Good question. It's actually a little bit of both. I think the primary reason is that if you put a VoIP client on your mobile device and use it over your 3G data network, of course you'll be bypassing traditional cellular minutes. And the carriers at this point aren't real happy about that because their business models are very focused on voice minutes.
Right.
But to your other point, clogging up the 3G data network, that is a valid point, and it's one of the reasons there are actually a number of restraints that are currently in the terms and conditions of many of the mobile operators. They, you know, sell, quote, unlimited plans per month, but if you're actually using too much bandwidth, they kind of cut you off. So it's kind of a fuzzy thing, and that's just simply them trying to get their arms around their traffic management and network operations.
Okay, thanks, because that's one of those things that while we would never want to encourage or even mention the possibility of anyone doing anything outside of an agreement, it's one that's really difficult to police.
True.
So, want to move on to slide 6?
Sure. So getting on to slide 6 about what 4G is or is not, of course, there's a lot of terminology in the wireless industry, as there is in all of networking. So we thought it would be a good exercise to see if there was any consistency in how the survey respondents defined loose terms like, quote, 4G. Interestingly, the largest group of service providers, nearly 25%, identified 4G with WiMAX. About 20% of users picked that definition too, but slightly more users, about 22%, picked the more generic multi-megabit end-user speeds as their top definition. Now, when asked to equate what they associate with the term WiMAX on the following slide, slide 7, most respondents chose mobile broadband, not 4G. So obviously some inconsistent perceptions abound. However, to clear this up just a little bit, WiMAX is a specification for a particular network. 4G, on the other hand, doesn't actually define a network per se. Rather, it defines capabilities. So 4G is a term that specifies the use of IP and packet switching only in a wireless network, then simply describes capabilities desired in the next generation of mobile networks. You can think of 4G as that, quote, the next generation of cellular, which will support IP multimedia applications and allow seamless roaming across dissimilar network infrastructures. WiMAX is one of the components, probably one of the first components likely to be part of the 4G foundation. WiBRO, which is a Korean form of WiMAX, and other networks such as the third generation partnership projects, long-term evolution technologies, make up some other components. Regina, was there anything you wanted to clear up here from the technology, terminology standpoint?
Yes, thanks, Joni. When I saw the results on this and some of the answers that were brought up, it just goes to show that there are a lot of terms that are being thrown out there, and everybody has a different definition of maybe what 4G is and what WiMAX is, but it was interesting for us to see how WiMAX is somewhat equated with 4G. I would agree with you that 4G is more about capability, and as a capability, I would personally probably define it as mobile broadband, and the technology like WiMAX brings that mobile broadband capability to light. And so as such, really, if you look at the market and how we define 4G, WiMAX is truly, as a technology, the first iteration of 4G. And we're using that same platform that we're using in our WiMAX solution really across all of our other mobile technologies as well, just to drive further time-to-market advantages and differentiation. But it was just interesting results here.
Very interesting.
Yes.
Okay, great. So moving on to the next slide then, application drivers for WiMAX. A more in-depth look at the application drivers behind mobile WiMAX here shows a lot of interesting and useful applications beyond the traditional business uses that we talked about back in the key findings section. As I mentioned in the 4G discussion, fixed mobile convergence, which blends networks and applications using IP for seamless roaming, is part of the 4G definition. So that's a very interesting and useful and powerful one. Surveillance, whether it's in businesses or used for home security, also showed a respectable amount of interest here. There's currently a big push, for example, to put existing surveillance systems onto corporate IP networks using IP cameras and encoders, for example, so that video content can be stored, searched, and accessed from anywhere across the network. And this makes a lot of sense for security personnel who, by definition of their jobs, are often mobile and may end up with WiMAX-enabled devices. Steve, Regina, any thoughts here?
Thanks, Joni. The data that came out of this question was somewhat interesting to me. The market trends and what you hear about WiMAX and a lot of the hype is around video and being able to deliver these high bandwidth applications. And there is some talk about real-time services like VoIP, but not as much. And this came really loud and clear, I thought, in this report that VoIP was going to be a primary driver for WiMAX. And it confirms what we're seeing in the marketplace. When we talk to operators, they view as VoIP is going to be one of the first services that they deliver, and it's table stakes. And in response to that, what we're doing is bundling our number one rated carrier VoIP solution with WiMAX to be able to deliver that end-to-end solution.
So by that, do you mean when you supply WiMAX infrastructure equipment to a mobile operator, the capabilities for the voice over IP service are built right into the infrastructure?
If that's the type of service that they want to deliver, absolutely, we can do that.
Okay, excellent.
Okay, great. And I just wanted to make one comment here, being the data geek again. Anytime that I see big jumps between the users and the service providers, it always gets my attention. And on both the extreme left-hand side and the extreme right-hand side, we see some rather extreme jumps here, in that particularly if you look at, for instance, the users versus the service providers, users being the red bar and service providers being the yellow bar, for VoIP and also for mobile enterprise and business applications, it's worthwhile to point out here that the users are corporate users, and so which is really a subset of the market that the service providers are looking at addressing with WiMAX-type services. So it makes sense that these particular data-centric and corporate-centric type applications would be the ones that the corporate users would see as being very, very important. And for the service providers, it's part of a larger spectrum. You'll notice that the yellow bars, the service providers, don't drop off nearly so sharply. They're more, hey, this is something for everything here. And particularly if we get over to the other extreme, where we're seeing very little interest on the users for movie clips and for interactive gaming, as opposed to service providers seeing this as being a major piece, what we see here is that, again, we're not looking at consumers, and those would be primarily consumer-type services.
That's a really good observation, Steve. Thanks a lot for pointing that out, because that might not be readily apparent just by taking a quick glance at the chart. In other words, you know, the user market or the consuming market, you know, the people who were surveyed were business users. And so the consumers who want the movies and whatnot didn't haven't had the opportunity to speak up in this survey. Slide 9 shows answers to a more general question about why carriers want to deploy and users want to use mobile WiMAX. Basically, the winning reasons for use relate to having flexibility to tap the internet and perhaps indirectly from there, the corporate intranet when on the go. Slide 10 shows in more detail some of the findings about the potential inhibitors to mobile WiMAX. And again, you can see that most respondents worry about the cost and availability of the devices that will connect them to the WiMAX network service. The third ranked concern, standards not sufficiently set, is actually likely related to the first two. People who are skeptical about how firm standards are, I would think, would be likely to believe that standards-compliant devices will not become available for a while, and then from there that it would take time for their costs to come down as the devices become pervasive. It's true that WiMAX can be considered in the early stages of deployment, but just to be clear, standards are final, and products and services that adhere to them are being rolled out currently. And interestingly, existing technology, while it made a showing as an inhibitor, fell about 10 points lower than the top perceived inhibitors. Generally, changing out a pervasive installed base, whether it is a service provider's entire network infrastructure or a business's access equipment, is seen as fairly significant. With 3G networks widespread and client 3G devices deployed as existing technology that works, it's unlikely that 3G providers are going to retire their significant investments in 3G licenses and spectrum and simply start all over from scratch with mobile WiMAX. On the other hand, they might be very likely to add mobile WiMAX to their networks, and device makers, as I've mentioned previously, are likely to build multi-client radios so that the benefits of mobile WiMAX can be enjoyed in areas where it becomes available. Slides 11 and 12 simply show more detail on the adoption, availability, and deployment timeframes, as anticipated both by the business users and the service providers who responded to the survey. And as mentioned earlier, these seem to show fixed-use WiMAX revving up this year and mobile WiMAX beginning to hit its stride next year. Steve or Regina, any final comments on these findings?
Joni, I think you've done a great job, and thank you very much for this overview. One of the things that makes these presentations possible and makes these studies possible is the support of a sponsor. So I think what I'd like to do so far as looking for final comments and on not only this but also moving forward to kind of where Nortel is first of all to thank Nortel for being a sponsor of this particular bit of research and to ask Regina to kind of give us the Nortel perspective on this.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you, Joni, as well. I thought that your presentation was very insightful. You know, I'm certainly very excited to see how many respondents picked up on the survey and took the time to reply. Obviously, WiMAX generates a lot of excitement and is generating a lot of excitement in the marketplace. And, you know, a couple of comments that I wanted to make, you know, WiMAX isn't just about just devices or applications or boxes in the infrastructure, but it's really about delivering true mobile broadband capability. And I think it's those companies and vendors that are able to deliver the end-to-end solution integrated with applications are the ones that are going to be the most successful to meet the needs of this burgeoning market. So, you know, if you look at VoIP and mobility and video, all these applications, what they really require is a carrier-grade solution. And that's where a company like Nortel comes in. And some of the consistent feedback that we're getting is that we do have quite a powerful solution. And powerful, I mean, we're able to pack up, you know, 100 megabits per second in a very, very small package. And imagine how much that can drive in terms of all the different video applications that consumers want to see or that operators want to deliver to their customers. And the other point I wanted to mention is just you know, we are able to deliver an end-to-end solution. We do have strong leadership in VoIP and in some other areas like IMS and Metro Ethernet to really drive the end-to-end solution for our customers, and as well as a long-standing experience over 12 years in the wireless space. We work with 85% of the top revenue-generating operators, wireless operators out there. We've got networks in over 50 countries. So we're definitely excited about the WiMAX marketplace and the capability and promise that this technology brings to everybody.
Regina, thanks so much for sharing that perspective. And Joni, thanks to you for sharing all of your insight on this as well. One point that I did want to just follow up with from Regina's comments concerning being excited about the response, it is qualitative but significant that the responses for this particular survey came in very, very quickly. And that also showed that there was a lot of excitement here. Sometimes when we do surveys, we have to go to a bit more effort than we do other times to elicit responses. And from a qualitative perspective, how quickly the responses came in for this one showed that this is indeed just an incredibly exciting technology and one to be watching. The following slides after this particular one that says thank you in your set are, as I mentioned at the beginning, a lot of additional demographics about the survey base in case you want to dig more closely into that. Also, keep your ears out open for this because we will be in the relatively near future also releasing a written version of this report, but certainly we wanted to get this most important information out to you in a podcast format just as quickly as possible. So, Regina, thanks to you. Joni,
thank you,
thanks
Steve.
Thanks. And Joni, thank you very much for the participation.
Thank you.
And particularly thank you to all of our listeners today.